Hello, everyone, and welcome to English Evening. This is Thursday's edition, and I am John.
This is 董宁。大家好，欢迎在周四的夜晚来到中国中央人民广播电台经济之声为您带来的英语之夜节目。John, do you know some people, they like to work at some place outside of office because they think in outside of the office, they would more focus on some things.
Sure. I mean, I think that makes sense in a lot of ways because, like, when you're in the office, like, it just kind of gets boring and, like, you're always doing the same thing and, you know, the environment never really changes. But, like, if you can go outside and, you know, maybe work outside for a while or, you know, just work in a different environment, like, it really changes things up. And I think it's much easier to,be focused and as well it's easier to be creative.
根据一项调查显示多数员工表示在办公室以外的其他地点办公比在办公室更容易集中精力。那办公室以外的工作地点呢包括家中酒店还有另外一家公司或者是咖啡店等等。So this place includes like a stay at home like Soho or in a hotel or another office or a coffee shop.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always one of those things, like, whenever I have a job, like, I always enjoyed, like, being able to get outside and actually, like, go do something rather than just stay in the office and work. I think because it's a little more interesting and it kind of, you know, breaks up the routine a little bit. And so instead of just, again, instead of doing the same thing over and over again, like, you have some variety and you're doing something a little bit different.
Yeah, sometimes you always run away from some things, maybe because of the office, the feel tense.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's just one of those things, like, you know, the office can just be just a little oppressive sometimes, and so it's just nice to get out and, you know, do your work in a coffee shop where, like, you have coffee and you have, like, this very, you know, nice environment and, you know, just people talking and stuff. I remember I had a friend who would do his homework. This was in university. He would do his homework, like, write a paper or something when, like, we were all hanging out in his apartment. Like, he always felt it was much easier for him to, like, do his work if there was more people around because, like, instead of it just being, like, really, really quiet and, you know, like, the traditional wisdom is that, like, if it's quiet, it's easier to focus. But for him, it was much easier to focus if there was something to, like, like go against.
Yeah, I want to finish as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, that's well, there's that too. But like for him, it was just like, well, for some reason, it's just easier for him to do stuff when there's more noise and more people doing things, and then if there was, you know, peace and quiet.
That reminds me, in China, Chairman Mao has the habit of read a book in a market.
Oh, really?
Yes, because he said it's very easy for him, or he want to train himself to how to focus in a very very lousy place.
Sure. Exactly. And so it's really interesting sometimes because actually it can be easier to focus, you know, if you're, if you have something that's like trying to grab your attention because you have something to work against. Whereas like if it's just quiet, well then maybe you feel uncomfortable and you get a little bit nervous. But if it's loud and noisy, it's actually easier to focus.
Well, speaking of focus on something, you know, for now men are more likely to forget things than women, even though women generally have more to remember, like watering the plant. 那么调查发现呢，现在的成年人是一日三忘，他们经常忘掉自己的钥匙、钱包或者是手机。那么还发现呢，男人比女人其实更加健忘，尽管女人的要记的东西一般比男人还多，主要是因为现代忙乱的生活方式、日益繁重的工作负担和压力。那么还有现代科技是造成我们越来越健忘的原因。
Yeah, and so it's actually kind of funny because I remember I've had girlfriends who would get really mad at me because, like, I forgot to do something or something like that. And now I feel a little bit justified that it wasn't really my fault. It's just the fact that men have...
Most adults, huh?
Yeah, men just don't have as good a memory as women.
Yeah, me feel relieved too because some of the men always forget because there's only maybe three things for men. Wallet, keys, and the mobile phone.
Sure,
but they always forget one of them.
Yeah, no, it's true. I remember back in the States, like, this happened maybe five or six times where I would get out of my car, but then I would lock my keys in my car, like just totally forget. And my mother would actually get quite angry at me because, like, you have to call someone to come help you, and that can get a little expensive. But anyway, and so what it is, basically, is that even though women have... more things that they need to remember, like maybe housework or chores or something like that, they actually have better memories than men.
The study also found men are more likely to forget things than women, and modern hectic lifestyle increased the workloads and pressures, as well as modern technology were blamed for the increase in their lives of forgetfulness.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, think about like all the things that you have to recharge. You know, you have to recharge your computer, your cell phone, maybe your PDA, you know, maybe your MP3 player or something like that. And so, like, if you have to worry about that, then maybe you will forget about some other things, like, you know, forgetting to take something out of the freezer the night before, forgetting about, you know, like all the wet clothes in the washing machine, or, you know, watering the plants and stuff. So it makes a lot of sense, I think. Like, the more you have, like, the more things you need to remember, the more you're actually going to forget to do.
Sometimes you will feel very pity or very sad for yourself because you forget something.
Yeah.
And for me, my mom always, you know, forget to take something. She would think, am I old?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, for me, I've always had a bad memory, so I think...
it's a relief, huh, for most of people.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm hoping that, like, actually when I get older, my memory will get better, but we'll have to see about that. Yeah, also, a lot of it has to do with whether or not, you know, someone is organized or not, you know, because if... You know, those people who write things down, you know, and then, you know, like, check their calendars every day and, you know, they check their notes and stuff, they're more likely to remember those, you know, really important things rather than people who are a little bit more disorganized and have a tendency not to write things down. This makes it a little bit more difficult for them, I think, to remember even everyday things.
It also emerged that despite a number of things we forget, only 1 in 4 people actually admit they are forgetful.
Yeah, exactly.
Women fare much better than men in a report, failing to recall an average of 2.5 things every day compared to 3.5 things for men.
Yeah, and so it's actually kind of funny because, again, like what you were saying, it's only a quarter of people will actually say that they are forgetful, when in fact the percentage is quite higher than that. And so it's really kind of funny because, you know, and like the idea of memory is usually pretty important to people. You know, like if you forget something, that probably means that it's not very important to you, right? And so this is just kind of like the way we think. And so like it can actually be a little bit shameful to forget something, you know, because maybe, you know, you've gotten into arguments with your boyfriend or girlfriend, your husband, wife, or maybe your friends about, you know, forgetting something, when in fact, like, in the end, maybe it just wasn't really your fault. It's just, you know, your brain just, you know, just can't hold that much information.
Sometimes take a break and take a nap and sleep very well can help you, helps you to have a better memory,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, so. I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And according to a survey, you know, some of the airport in the world is very, very good for passengers to take a nap. For example, Singapore International Airport is the best place for the travelers to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Hong Kong International Airport and Norway International Airport also very, very good choice because the airport is very clean, very comfortable, and the working staff is very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember going to the airport in Seoul, and that airport was actually quite relaxing because like they have really, really big ceilings. There's a lot of space. And like it just feels really, really nice to be there. Whereas like you compare that to maybe JFK Airport in New York City or the Los Angeles International Airport, where these airports are a little bit old. Like they don't feel very comfortable, and maybe they're actually a little bit dirty too.
那一项调查显示，世界上最好、最舒适、适合打盹的这个机场呢，是新加坡的樟宜机场。那排名之 后的呢是首尔的仁川机场，阿姆斯特丹的史基甫机场呢排在第三名，同时呢挪威奥斯陆的加德穆恩国际机场以及香港机场跌出了最佳机场的前五位。I remember that Hong Kong International Airport has ranked number one, the most comfortable or most international airport, you know, for some years ago, I think.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think a lot of it has to do with just kind of like the ergonomics, you might say, of the airport, and so a lot of it just has to do with, like, how you feel when you're there. And so, like, if you're comfortable, if the place makes you feel comfortable, of course, it'll be easier to sleep.
Mm.
Whereas, like, you know, if it's dirty and there's a lot of mosquitoes and it's old and it just makes you feel uncomfortable, well, then, of course, it'll be harder to take a nap.
Yes, and especially recently because the weather is, you know, very, very rainy day recently in the whole of China.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some plane has been delayed.
Sure.
Yeah, one of my friends had just a flight to the southern part of China, just delayed for maybe 2 or 3 hours.
Oh,
so
wow.
Take a nap.
Yeah.
And relax a little bit, you would not blame the weather.
Sure, yeah, exactly. You can't really blame the weather, I think.
Uh-huh.
But also, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, like, for me, you know, traveling, especially, like, the long distance trips where you have to change planes at airports and stuff, like, the airport you go to is actually quite important because the better the airport, the easier it is to relax, especially if you're waiting for a long time.
And especially for some girls, you would have some tax-free shops.
Yeah, hopefully.
Duty-free shops.
Yeah.
Okay, and for now, let's move on to business. 接下来呢，我们来听听财经资讯。Singapore launches new initiatives to improve cleaning industry. 新加坡设立专项资金促进清洁产业发展。
Singapore has set aside $2 million Singapore dollars, that's about $1.4 million US dollars, to fund the cleaning industry, local media reported recently. According to the local radio, the Workforce Development Agency has set aside the funds for the Best Sourcing Initiative Early Adopters Scheme for the cleaning industry. This is a new initiative that awards cleaning contracts based on performance and quality instead of solely on price. The fund will be used to defray costs incurred in the adoption of BSI practices as organizations pay more for better quality service. For a start, the program will target organizations in the cleaning, building maintenance, security, and landscaping sectors. At the same time, to protect workers from injuries, a new workplace safety and health guidelines was also released recently to provide cleaning contractors and companies with technical information and tips on workplace safety and health practices for cleaning activities.
That was today's Biz News. For now, let's move on to Studio Classroom.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Steve, and we thank you for joining us to study English with us today. Now, we're talking about famous people, and they're famous because they make delicious food, and they look pretty good on TV, too. I'm talking about celebrity chefs. You know, famous TV personalities who create delicious meals. And they're not really all that new. Actually, celebrity chefs have been around for decades. So what makes these chefs different? Perhaps it's because of cable television, with channels devoted to cooking. Or perhaps it's because cooking as a hobby is growing in popularity. Maybe we'll find out some answers today as we introduce you to some celebrity chefs who bring to their cooking more of an Asian flavor. Before we do that, though, let's peek at two new key words. The first is the very, very important word, cuisine. Cuisine. This restaurant offers several different Asian cuisines, but I think their Thai food is the best. Next is the adjective adamant, as in, our teacher is adamant about students being on time. Late students will be punished. Okay, so don't be late. This reading begins on the right side of page 17.
Celebrity chef. Kevin and Claire, Taipei celebrity chef couple. Kevin Xu and Claire Tsung's love for healthy, beautifully prepared food comes across as clearly as their love for each other. This husband and wife are the authors of 3 cookbooks and hosts of the show New Wave Cuisine, which airs daily and attracts more than 4 million viewers. The pair shares tips for unlocking the delicious, original taste of food and creating colorful, nutritious meals. Adamant about retaining original flavors, they teach audiences how to cook food in its natural juices instead of using high-calorie additives.
Hi, friends. I'm Chip.
And I'm Rachel. We're so glad you joined us for the second day of our lesson. It's one of my favorite things to talk about because I enjoy cooking and I love watching celebrity chefs on TV. Now, today we're going to meet a famous couple, and often celebrity chefs are just single people, but this is a couple, a celebrity chef.
And our article starts talking about Kevin and Claire, a couple from Taipei, and they are a celebrity chef couple here in Taipei. Our article starts off by saying that Kevin Xu and Claire Deng have two loves. Their first love for healthy, beautifully prepared food, and also their love for each other.
This is so sweet because they're not just working together, they're actually a couple. They're actually married. So they share this love for food and a love for each other. And I think what is neat about this is that they share a love for beautifully prepared food. Now, if there's one thing, Chip, I've learned in Asia, it's that the way the food looks is very important.
Hmm.
And food is often created to be not just tasty, but to be very attractive as well.
Yeah, and I know that display is important. The way that a food is showcased or displayed actually affects the way that I taste it. If it looks nice, then I will probably think that it tastes pretty good too.
I agree 100%. Well, I've seen some of the cookbooks that this husband and wife have authored, and their food always does look so beautiful. They are the authors of 3 cookbooks, and they are the hosts of the show New Wave Cuisine. Now, before we talk more about this show, let's stop on that word cuisine, because this word is very important when talking about food.
Okay, that word cuisine means it's a style or a certain quality of cooking. So you can have different ethnic cuisines, or you can also have more modern cuisines or traditional cuisines, which simply means different styles.
Right, so cuisine is kind of a fancy word for food, we could say. So their show is called New Wave Cuisine, and it airs daily, which means it's on television daily, and it attracts more than 4 million viewers. So a lot of people are watching Kevin and Claire.
And our article says that the pair shares tips for unlocking the delicious original taste of food. Now, we're unlocking the original taste of food. That's an unusual way of saying it, isn't it?
It sure is, but I think it's very clever because what they try to do is maybe take simple food that we see every day and teach people how to make it or prepare it in a way that the flavor and the taste is almost new to people. They are unlocking the delicious original taste. So maybe you taste something, again, you've tasted it a million times already, but it just tastes differently because of the way that you've prepared it.
Okay, and they create colorful, nutritious meals. Now, this pair or this couple is adamant about retaining or keeping original flavors. Now, that word adamant is one of our vocabulary words. If you are adamant about something, that means usually that you're very passionate about something, passionate about your opinion, in such a way that someone cannot change your mind or they can't change your opinion.
Right. And another word we could use is stubborn. You're a little bit stubborn. You're adamant. You are not going to change your mind and nobody else is going to change it either. So what are they adamant about? Well, they want to retain or keep, as Chip said, the original flavors of the food. And they teach audiences how to cook food in its natural juices instead of using high-calorie additives. So what's an additive? I think that would help us understand what this is all about.
Well, additives are something that's added to, in this case, a food or a cuisine that perhaps improves the flavor or it adds some quality that you would desire.
Well, sometimes it's also just used to prevent food from spoiling. But food really tastes better without additives. And that's what they are trying to get people to understand. You don't have to add a lot of things. Simplicity is good when it comes to cooking.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back from the break. Here's a question. How would you like to do something you love with someone you love and get paid for it? That's the dream celebrity chefs Kevin and Claire are living in Taipei. And next, even though we're moving to Australia, we'll still keep the Chinese connection as we meet Master Chef Kylie Kwong. Before we do that, though, let's tackle our last two keywords of the lesson. The first is premier. Several of the world's premier architects worked on the design of this unique building. Next is the noun heritage, as in Abe traveled to Israel to learn more about his family's Jewish heritage. Now let's turn the page and pick up the reading at the top of page 18.
Celebrity chef, Kylie Kwong, master of Chinese cooking. A fourth generation Chinese Australian, Kylie Kwong learned the art of Cantonese cooking from her mother. She then polished her skills working under some of Australia's premier chefs. After a life-changing trip to China in 1999, she opened her own restaurant, Billy Kwong, in 2000. 2 years later, Kwong leapt at the chance to host a TV show, seeing it as a way to express her pride in her Chinese heritage. Through her show and the four books she has written, she takes Chinese food lovers on a feast for all the senses. With their delicious recipes and colorful presentations, these masters of the kitchen entertain and inspire millions. Hungry yet?
Welcome back. We were talking about Kevin and Claire here in Taipei, and now our article moves to another celebrity chef named Kylie Kwong. And our article calls her the Master of Chinese Cooking.
Wow, that's a pretty impressive title, isn't it? Well, let's learn a little bit about Kylie. She's a fourth generation Chinese Australian, and she learned the art of Cantonese cooking from her mother. So it sounds like she has a diverse background, a little bit of Chinese in her, a little bit of Australian, but she can also cook in a Cantonese style.
Uh-huh. And it says that she then polished her skills, which means that she maybe shined them or worked on them in such a way to make them very good and improved her skills, working under some of Australia's premier chefs. And premier is one of our vocabulary words. Rachel, what does premier mean?
Well, here it means that something is, or a person is, first in status or importance. So it just means she's one of Australia's top chefs. That word has other meanings as well, but here we're just saying she's one of the best. However, I think it's interesting that she learned a lot of this from her mother, but then she made a trip to China, didn't she?
And it sounds like this was a life-changing trip, a very influential trip. And after this life-changing trip in China in 1999, she opened her own restaurant. And this restaurant's name is Billy Kwong.
Okay, now I'm not sure why she named it Billy Kwong. Maybe that's her father or somebody else. But that restaurant was opened in the year 2000. And 2 years later, Kylie leapt at the chance to host a TV show. So often with celebrity chefs, they work for a few years, and then later on down the road, a television contract comes along, and that is a great way for them to show what they enjoy and for her to express her pride in her Chinese heritage.
Now, we used this word heritage, and specifically Kylie Kwong's Chinese heritage. Now, heritage is one of our vocabulary words. Heritage is anything that is passed down through the generations. So it could be anything that you inherit from the older generation in your family.
So again, her television show is a way for her to express her pride in her Chinese heritage, the things that she has learned from different generations, and she's proud to be Chinese, and it shows through her cooking. Well, continuing on in our lesson, we read that through her show and the four books she has written, she takes Chinese food lovers on a feast for all the senses, and that phrase right there is in quotes, isn't it?
That's right. It sounds like this is probably something that she says. Is that right?
Maybe. I think mainly it's a feast for the senses is that we can appreciate it in using our eyes and our ears and our mouth. All of our senses can appreciate what she provides.
All right. Well, we've talked about several celebrity chefs. And our article says, with their delicious recipes and colorful presentations, these masters of the kitchen entertain and inspire millions.
They sure do. I think most people enjoy watching cooking shows on TV, and we hope that you will watch one of these celebrity chefs very soon.
Right now, it's time to say goodbye. So, from all of us here at Studio Classroom, have a delicious day. Bye bye.
本节目由吉林省空中英语教室杂志社提供，也可登录相关网站收听当日广播教学节目。本节目配套杂志播讲 MP3 在全国各大书店有售，并可在当地邮局订阅。
Okay, and that was Studio Classroom, which means that we are once again at the end of this Thursday edition of English Evening. Yeah, and so the time of our program has been changed from 9:30 to 10:30. And so we appreciate you guys sticking with us, even though it's a little bit later. And don't forget that if you would like to listen to our show online, you can always go to our website at cnr.cn.
Yeah, and, you know, our time has changed a little bit, but you can still write to email to us because we welcome you to write any kinds of email if you want to share with us any topics that you can feel free to write us email. And the email address is englishevening@cnr.cn. Or if you want to listen to our show online, you can log on to our website, which is www.cnr.cn, and find forum or find business radio. You can find a very, very special place. I think it's on the left side of the white page. And then you can choose the day that you want to listen to the show. That's all for today's program here on China Business Radio. This is Dong Ning and John from Beijing. And hope to see you next day. Bye-bye.
22:59，中央人民广播电台经济之声，让你永远领先一分钟。
高品经济学。
欢迎来到 Coffee 经济学，今日茶点：杠杆企业 Leverage Organization。 在物理学当中，杠杆能用很小的力量撬动很重的物体。在经济学当中，负债就是企业的杠杆，资本结构当中有负债的企业被称作杠杆企业。但负债经营是一把双刃剑，既能使企业迅速筹集资金，降低经营成本，减少税负支出，也有可能使企业陷入到债务危机。
瑞士天梭表。